This episode is brought to you by Kinnec. Kinnec helps small businesses connect with suppliers and get customized quotes for free. Learn more at kinnec.com/heritage.
I'm Greg Blaze, host of Cutting the Curd. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you sun in the air.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
And my name is Souther Teague.
And, man, we're moving right into fall. We've had so many. It's been really cool this past month. We've had
book month.
It's been book month on The Speakeasy, which is
not over yet. We got one more after this.
I know, man.
Jack McGarry is going to be here next week.
I know. Well, that's going to be really cool to have him back in the studio.
Yeah.
We've had Robert Simonson. We've had Brad Thomas Parsons. It's been like a revolving door of our very talented writer buddies coming through the studio. And
today's no different.
Today we have the very talented Kara Newman. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thank you.
Author of the new book, Shake, Stir, Sip.
And more than 50 effortless cocktails made in equal parts.
Yeah, that's the hook on this book, right? Equal parts cocktails.
Right. Everything's made in exactly equal proportions. Every last drink.
That's amazing.
So how many bottles can you hold at the same time to dump into a glass? Like, what's your limit?
I've actually never tried that. I leave that to the masters.
Because, you know, like, old school American, it would be like the Long Island iced tea. You see bartenders picking up five bottles and dumping them into a glass, you know, not measuring, and then throwing in their sour mix and Coke and stuff like that, which I'm assuming the Long Island iced tea is not in this book.
It's not.
Okay, it didn't make the cut.
But I guess
they buried it at Tails a few years ago, didn't they?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh man, I guess as long as you're pouring those bottles all at the same rate, it's going to be equal parts. So why not?
Yeah, why not? I guess that would be like seven bottles, right?
Oof,
Jesus,
that's some big hands.
I can do five.
I think I could probably do five.
Like two in each hand, and then kind of like put one in between. I could do it. So the inspiration for this book, why don't you tell us about it? I mean, like, I think it's obvious, but I want to hear it from you.
I just thought that it was a genre of cocktails that really hadn't been brought to the home bartender. It's one of those drinks that everyone seems to know in the bartending industry. Everyone knows the Negroni and the Last Word. But I don't think a lot of home bartenders realize that there's this category of drinks made in equal proportions. And it's just, it's easy to execute, and I didn't invent the category, but I did manage to sweep them all together into a collection.
Yeah. I think for me, I don't know, like, you probably feel the same way. It's like, to me, you know, we kind of, like, as bartenders, we tend to challenge ourselves with different types of drinks. Like, for instance, like, most notably, you know, like, beer cocktails. Beer cocktails are challenging.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you have to, like, you have to adapt for, you know, like, for instance, your sugar levels, like, for whatever, like, the cocktail part of it is. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to, like, go a little bit heavier with your sweetener, enrichener, whatever you want to call it, to
balance
it out, mm-hmm. right? So, like, another one is, like, making, like, a perfect equal parts drink. It's always been a thing.
I've always called them, how we refer to them in the house at Amore, anyway, we call them Zen cocktails. Like when we say, oh, it's these items, and we say it's a Zen cocktail, and everybody in the house knows what that means. They're like, oh, it's all those items in equal portions. And I think Bobby, you mentioned Bobby in the book, right? He calls them
Equinox cocktails.
Equinox cocktails. I think that's pretty genius as well.
Like nice. Equal parts day and night.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
But yeah, they are a challenge. And we have a few on the menu at Amore Margo, and you feature one of them here in the book, the Sharpie Mustache, made by Chris Elford.
Love that drink.
Yeah, everyone does. It's been on the menu at Amore for three of our 5.5 years. That's amazing. The team at Amore, we vote. Each menu change, the team votes on what stays and goes, and that one just continues to march forward. So it's great to be in the book. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. It doesn't hurt that you serve them in those cute little bottles with the mustache stickers on the bottles.
Adorable.
It's a crowd pleaser. Yeah. And it's a really good drink.
It is. Yeah, it's super well balanced. You know, we can run it down for you real fast. It's equal parts of London Dry Gin, rye whiskey, Bonal, which is a Gentian and quinine wine, and then Mulleti Amaro, which is kola nut Amaro, with just a couple of dashes of tiki bitters, which gives it this like really leathery island spice kind of vibe. And it's fair to mention that, too. These are equal parts cocktails, but they do have little bits of augmentation here and there. Bitters, splashed soda, et cetera, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So you can't just be all equal parts with the bitters.
Well, I mean, unless you're doing something like a Trinidad special or something.
Right?
But, yeah, so, like, I think, especially for our listeners and especially for, like, the home bartenders out there, I mean, the Negroni... And like you mentioned, the Negroni in The Last Word are the most notable, just kind of like the first ones you can think of that are your go-to 3 and 4 part equal part cocktails.
Bijou.
Corpse Survivor.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
Totally.
Wow. Yeah,
but I think the most like the most like customizable one would be the Negroni, right? I mean, like, because if you know, it's spirit, bitter, and vermouth. So as long as you are swapping out one for like an equal category, like, remember, you know, like,
sure, swap a spirit for a spirit, swap a fortified wine for a fortified wine.
Did you find a lot of that happening when you were doing the research for this book, like as far as like the house cocktails that you put in the book and like that you tried with?
There were a ton of Negroni and Negroni variations. Actually, one of my favorites was Lynette Marrero's. We called it the Toffee Negroni. It's an aged rum drink. So, you know, the spirit becomes aged rum. There's Amontillado sherry for the fortified wine. And then Aperol then takes the place of the aperitif. And it's just a lovely drink. And it's a Negroni, but it's not a Negroni.
Yeah, a no-groni. A not-groni.
There are just so many. I think one of the big challenges in putting the book together was not having the Negroni or the bitter, boozy, stirred category dominate the entire book. I had to find some that also had some juices, had more of like a spring or summer feel, had maybe like a bubbly, more refreshing profile. There are just so many boozy and bitters. I love that style. I mean, Southern's built a whole bar around it. But, you know, there's more to that when you're trying to build a book.
Where did you get to travel to?
Did you run around and talk to all these folks, or did you just reach out via the internet or whatever?
Kind of a mix. A lot of people from around here that I already knew contributed ideas. There are other people I've known from other interviews. In some cases, I managed to visit a bar. But it's just a lot of kind of like pulling it all together. I have to admit, I had a very short time frame to put it all together. So it was a lot of, you know, reaching out to people I knew and saying, hey, you got something to contribute? I would love to.
Yeah, I remember getting mine in right away. How about you, Damon?
I missed the deadline.
It is still one of the great tragedies of my life that I don't have your recipes in there.
There would have been 50 more cocktails in this book if I'd made that deadline.
This is one of your things. I mean, don't you have a ton of equal parts drinks, don't you?
I have a ton. So much so that my ex-girlfriend actually started an LLC called Equal Parts LLC.
No. Yeah. Really?
Seriously.
I had no idea.
It's like a big deal for me. Yeah. And I was so bummed that I missed the deadline.
Oh, my God. Volume 2.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So I think of, like, one of the, like, the modern spins on a classic equal parts cocktail would be, like, Phil Ward's, like, the Final Ward, which is a rye-based. It's rye and lemon and green chartreuse and maraschino.
Like, exactly, yeah. So, like, it's a Last Word.
It's one of the last word variations.
Using those templates.
So, yeah, I mean, like, it's funny.
Which I think is, like, we're a little bit pulling back the curtain here for the home user, and we're revealing, you know, the... I don't know, what is this, a trade secret? I don't like secrets. But you know, like, yeah.
Well, actually,
we're shaking off a little bit of the mystery, which I like. I want the consumer to have a better idea of what's going on in how we put things together for them in a glass. Yeah.
I mean, speaking of Phil Ward, when he was on the show.
But we all work by templates.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I tell people 1,000 times a day, at Amore Margo, we make 3 drinks. Old-fashioned Manhattan Negroni and untold variations on those drinks. But every drink we put out is one of those.
Yeah.
And I do it every day, day in, day out.
Because you don't do sours because you don't have juice.
Exactly. We don't do any. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like Phil Ward, when he was on the show, actually, a couple of years ago, a few years ago, whatever. I've been doing the show for a long time. he said it was like using these templates like and playing like Mr. Potato Head. You know?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You put a nose in.
Plug and play.
Yeah, it's like put an eye in, for a different eye. You know, it's like it's you can use these templates.
Put a foot for an ear, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that happens, man. But yeah, I mean, like it's funny you should mention that, like, you know, you've got your templates like your Manhattan slash martini.
I think it's, yeah, I think a martini is a Manhattan. Manhattan came first.
Sure.
Beer, vermouth, bitters.
Yeah. And then you've got, like, your Negroni, your equal parts drink. You've got your Old Fashioned or Sazerac or whatever, you know, Latin Quarter, whatever you want to call it. But it's that template. So you mentioned, Kara, that you were researching some of the, like, sour drinks. What are some that you kind of came across that were... that kind of stood out? Like, now we talked a little bit about like the Negroni kind of like spirit for spirit, but let's talk about, like, for instance, like a Last Word or maybe even a five-parter.
Ooh, yeah, let's get deeper.
Yeah,
oh, man.
So the book's just, I'm looking real fast, the book's just separated.
We should mention that too. Like, what's cool about this book is that it's separated by it goes from two equal parts to three to four to five, which I think is really cool. You know, like,
I never found six or seven.
Really?
It's because I didn't make the deadline.
Oh, man.
Volume two.
I want to hear about your six-part, seven-part, equal-part strength. I really, really do.
It's too provocative for radio.
Well, I mean, you know, not for nothing, the eight Amaro Sazerac at Amore Amargo is equal parts of eight different Amari.
This is warming my heart.
With two different bitters and a glass rinse with chartreuse. So.
That's Jesus. Awesome.
That's a monster. That's Meyer Sabaro.
Wow.
Been on the menu since the day we opened.
I love it. I mean, if you want to talk about the Last Word, I mean, one of the things that I love about the Last Word is how it just sort of, it evolves into so many other drinks as well. I feel like the Paper Plane is maybe the most successful example, and that's one of my favorite drinks of all time, equal parts or not.
Yeah.
And that one is equal parts bourbon.
Aperol, lemon, and...
Amaro.
There's a
Amaro Nonino.
Oh, yeah. Nonino, yes.
Yes. And
still got it.
Still got it.
Thank you. And that's Sam Ross's drink, and it's wonderful. And I was just traveling in Savannah, and I saw it evolve yet again at a bar called Cotton and Rye. They had a version with local spirits, and instead of Aperol, it was a Leopold aperitif, and instead of Aperol, it was Leopold aperitif, and instead of the Amaro Nonino, it was High Wire Southern Amaro.
Oh yeah, I love that stuff.
Yeah,
and it tasted totally different, but it was wonderful.
Plug and play, man.
Yeah,
plug and play. Don't be afraid.
I like this. I like the fact that you have this rum punch in here from Donna Beachcomber, from his. First of all, everyone knows that I love iced tea, so like having this in here is like really cool, and it's a five-parter. Actually, it 1, 2, 3.
He's counting. He's checking my facts.
There are actually seven parts in this one.
All right,
but you listed it as five,
above,
but there's actually seven. It's amazing.
what are the extra pieces though? They're in the book. You can have equal parts, and then a splash of bitters or a splash of
this
soda.
This is 1 ounce of each. This is 1 ounce dark rum, 1 ounce golden rum, 1 ounce black iced tea. 1 ounce lime juice, 1 ounce mango juice, 1 ounce pomegranate juice, 1 ounce simple syrup.
There it is.
I did it.
I'm hoping in the back of my mind I made that chapter into five or more.
I think you did.
Okay. Yeah. My editor won't shoot me. Okay.
You know what? Let's take a quick break.
Five equal parts and more.
And more. Yeah. Let's take a quick break and make
an equal parts drink.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. We'll be back in just a moment with Karen.
Kinnec helps small businesses connect with suppliers online and get customized quotes for free. From research to purchase, we've helped thousands of craft producers find the best prices and suppliers for their business. Browse research, purchasing guides, or equipment and supplier reviews. Request and compare quotes from multiple suppliers in one place. Store your conversations online and purchase with confidence. Kinect is here to help you manage purchasing the easy way. Supplier? Kinect can help you connect with customers at the push of a button. It's the perfect solution, whether you're looking to scale or get a new product off the ground. See how our marketplace can help your business grow today. Buy or sell smarter on Kinect. It's purchasing made painless. To learn more, visit us at kinect.com/heritage. That's kinnek.com/heritage.
And we are back. You're listening to The Speakeasy, and in the studio today we have Kara Newman, who just put out this book, Shake, Stir, Sip, More Than 50 Effortless Cocktails Made in Equal Parts, which just hit its second printing.
In a week.
That's crazy.
That's undoable. Unheard of.
Yeah, that's...
It is. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. I just imagine, like...
I'd be bouncing off the walls.
Like some of your family members with stacks of your book. Like they just bought like...
Let's just go buy...
like 100 copies
sweep
each.
Sweep out Barnes & Noble or whatever.
That's great. Congratulations.
That's amazing.
We've been talking in the first half of the show about equal parts drinks and how cool of a concept they are. But there's one that, you know, we kind of talked a little bit of shit on the Long Island Iced Tea, but... as far as like a true classic cocktail goes, that's equal parts. Man, I've just never been able to get in the Blood and Sand.
It's the worst.
It's so like,
flabby.
It's flabby. It's like one of those things where, you know, like they're like, oh, like I kind of imagine them being in a room like, in their stock room being like, oh, well, we got a ton of scotch and we got a ton of cherry herring and ton of orange juice.
Well, I mean,
like what happened with the Moscow Mule. They're like, got this ginger beer and we got this vodka. I don't know. Fucking mix them together.
Yeah, right.
Boom. Millions.
You got a nice cup to put it in?
It didn't work with the Blood and Sand so much.
Well,
but it was a popular drink for a while.
I think it's worth noting that the Blood and Sand has a history. You know, it was named after a movie of the same name, a silent film.
The Rudy Valentino film.
Yeah, Valentino. So that certainly gave it some strength. And then, you know, you rarely find that Blood and Sand made the original way, which was with blood orange juice, which is definitely sharper acidity than just traditional orange juice. But orange juice cocktails, as we've talked about on the show, I think before, just fall flat all the time. We fixed that problem at Booker and Dex. We acid adjusted orange juice to have the same acidity as lime juice, but you can't do that at every bar.
Yeah,
I feel like the orange juice is part of the problem. I mean, I've talked with bartenders, and some people say you just can't work with orange juice. The Ward 8 has the same problem.
Yeah,
And some people say it's the proportions that it's just out of balance as equal parts. I just think it's the worst equal parts drink there is.
Yeah.
Not in the book, with good reason.
The authority on equal parts cocktails just laid down the law on the fucking Blood and Sand.
But you both agree.
So let's put that shit to bed. No, I agree. I'm just letting the listener know that now it's law.
I think it's okay to be opinionated about classic cocktails that don't work. I mean, I'm sure you've spotted, both of you have spotted this, as have I, like in our travels, you know, like every once in a while you go into a bar in another city or just wherever, and they'll have a Blood and Sand on the menu, and it's like,
A why? For effort. Way to research and dig. But then did you taste it? Like, it doesn't, like, it really, sounds great.
Do you really like this? Do you?
Yeah.
No. I don't think you do. Yeah. I mean, and it's actually, it's kind of unfortunate because, like, in the true spirit of, like, an equal parts cocktail where you can kind of plug and play, I feel like there's
not a lot of room to wiggle.
I think you can get creative with it. I think swapping out the cherry herring for another, like, liqueur is the first step. I'm not saying anything.
99 bananas?
I mean, scotch and bananas go really well together. And orange juice? I mean, yeah.
It's breakfast.
Now it's like a dull, like, fruit mixer kind of thing. But I mean, no, I mean, like, we actually have a scotch and banana cocktail on our menu right now at Grand Army, you know? Like,
innovators.
It doesn't have orange juice in it. But I mean, like, man, I've had a hard time working with orange juice in cocktails. Like, I had one